Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, we love you. We thank you that no matter what it is that we're going through in this life, that we can trust in you. You've proven yourself over and over again. And today, this is our reminder. This is our worship. This is our thank you for all that you are, for all that you've done. Continue to speak to us today, Father. Thank you for your word that we can trust. It's good. We love you. We honor you. We appreciate you. And today we say thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Can we thank Joseph and our team for leading us so well today? Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys. Well, good morning. My name is Bobby. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, I would love that as soon as this service is over. Right outside in our little makeshift lobby we got going on here, there's a little place over here that has a free gift for you. If this is one of your first times, we'd love just to connect and meet you. And then we would love to just thank you for being here. A quick reminder, and I know Brian talked about this, but I want to go ahead and mention a couple of times. If you're not in one of our small groups, this is a perfect time to get started. We're kind of kicking off the semester this week. Many of our groups are getting started, and so we would love for you to check that out. There's a table over here. We've got so much going on. We got a marriage conference coming up at the end of February, and so we'd love for you to take part of that. You can get more information, sign up for that today. We have a mission trip to Zambia in July, and next Sunday, as soon as the service is over, we're going to have an interest meeting. So if you're interested in that, get some more information. We've been talking about it for a little bit. So there's a lot going on, and you can get all that information on our website. You can tap your phone on that pretty cool little, what did Shira call it last week? Tappy thingy? I don't know what she called it, but we would love for you to get involved with us. If you haven't been with us, we're in the middle of a different kind of series. I don't usually do these kind of series where we're just kind of taking a peek under the hood of what's going on and what God's called us to, the mission and vision of City Hope Church and what we're all about. And so it's a good time for you to be here. If you are new, you're going to learn a little bit more about just what God has called City Hope Church to be all about. But the foundation for this series and all of these sermons is a pretty familiar passage of scripture, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. The Bible says, without revelation, people run wild. So without understanding God's goal, God's vision for my life, the Bible says, well, people begin to run wild. But who follows divine instruction will be happy. You've heard it said maybe in a different way, where there is no vision, people perish, right? So we need to understand, if I'm a follower of God, man, I want his vision. I want to know what God wants for me. And each and every single one of you have been created with this vision in mind. God has a purpose for you and he has a plan for you. And my heart and my desire, I feel like that one of our jobs here as the church is to help you find the best version of you. Help you find, what is that vision for me and my family? What is that vision that God wants for my life? And so that is our goal with this series. That is our goal with what we're trying to share with you. We have some clear God-given direction for our church. And I believe that not only do we need to get the vision, but then there's part two, right? We get the vision, and then the second part is we obey the vision. We do the thing that God calls us to do. And so we've been talking about our mission statement and just how I feel like God's kind of refining it to get it to a place where it's not just hearing it, it's not just getting the vision, but there's action. And we want to lead people to experience Jesus. Man, I want you to experience Jesus. I want you to walk out of here today and not go, man, it was dark in there, or man, it was cold outside. Not that all that music was good. I want you to walk out of here today and say, man, God spoke to me. I just felt the presence of the Lord. I want you to experience Jesus. And then what I want you to do is I want that to lead you to a place where you follow him and you do things in your life that can change the world. And you go and you live out the vision that God's given for you. And here's the truth, right? That's never going to happen by accident. That's never going to happen by accident. We don't grow by accident. We grow when we do things on purpose. And we need people to push us, right? And I feel like here at the beginning of this year, this is our opportunity to give you a little push, to give you some encouragement, to give you some accountability. Because, you think about if you're a coach or maybe your kid plays something, sometimes they need a hug, right? Sometimes they need a kick in the butt, right? Sometimes they need both. Right, so some of you right now, you need a hug. You need somebody just to put their arm around you and encourage you and go, it's okay, you can fight through this season. And then some of you just need to be kicked, right? And say, hey, guess what? Suck it up, buttercup. Like, it's time to go. It's time for you to get rolling. And so it doesn't happen by accident. So week one, we talked about the vision and where we feel like that God is pushing us. And I encouraged you, what would your life look like if you adopted that vision? If you adopted this mission statement in your life every day when you went to work, every day when you go to school, what would your life look like? And then last week, we talked about what it means to be truly committed to Christ. We looked at the disciples, and as soon as things got hard, what did the Bible say? Many of his disciples turned and walked away from Jesus. And so we talked about what would it really look like if we stayed, if we stuck it out, if we served Jesus, even when it was hard, and how some of that culture of leaving when things get hard still lives in our world today. I think that we are put here on earth not to contribute to that culture, but to fix that culture. To say, you know what, we're not just going to serve Jesus and show up when it's convenient. I'm not just going to go to church when it aligns with my kids' schedule and all that. No. I'm going to put Jesus first, and then everything else that we do flows from that. And we talked about that last week. And I want to remind you of a couple steps. These aren't the only steps. This is kind of a pathway, a process, if you will, that we've put together. And these are just steps that you can take. These are practical ways that you can live out your faith. We have the loop. That is the most simple way. If you want to join City Hope Church, you want to be a part of what God's doing, you want to know more about us, the loop, first Sunday of every month. That's an easy step. Our small groups happen almost every night of the week. There's a small group going on at somebody's house or someplace that you can find community, encouragement, growth, and all of those things. We have our roots, which is one-on-one discipleship, where we go through 10 basic essentials of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We have our D groups, where we get together in really smaller groups and just dig in deeper in God's word. We have our hope crews, where you can come and use your gifting and your passions and get your faith activated inside and outside of the church. So those are just some of the pathways that we believe God is asked us to help and lead you into making some of these decisions. So today, we're going to move from the vision to the focus, okay? We're going to move from the vision to the focus. How are we going to live out our mission in 2026? What are the things that we feel like God is calling us to kind of zoom in on, right? So the vision is the thing that gives us direction, but focus gives us traction. Focus is where we feel like God has given us this year in 2026 to put a lot of emphasis on. So I'm going to give you those three things today. Now again, today is kind of just a peek behind the curtain, so to speak, for you to understand really what City Hope Church is all about. Now I'm going to give you these three things, but my prayer all week long has been that maybe one of these things is exactly what God's speaking to you about. And maybe one of these areas that we're going to put some emphasis on this year is an area that God's saying, hey, I want you to help lead that area. I want you to help get involved in that area. You need to be, you need to take a step up in that area. And that's been my prayer for you this week. So I'm not just explaining these to you. I'm hoping that God brings some conviction to what's going on in your life as well. So let me share these three areas. Number one, our focus number one is that prayer must be a priority. Prayer in 2026 and beyond must be a priority. I'm convinced, church, that we can have the best of everything and still miss the point. Like we could sing your favorite worship songs every Sunday, and we could stand up for just the perfect amount of time. I saw some of you, your back was hurting this morning. We could stand up for just the right amount of time. I could preach a message that every week you agree with, that you're gonna sit next to your favorite people. We're gonna serve the best coffee and we have the best donuts. We can have the most amazing ministry for your kids and for your students. We can do all of that, and I'm convinced of this, we can walk out of here unchanged. Why? I mean, if everything was so great and it was comfortable and it was awesome and it tickled my ears and I liked everything, how could it not? I'm convinced that if we don't meet with Jesus, if we don't connect with him, none of this matters. All the things that we put so much focus on, none of it matters. I've had so many Sundays in 23 years of ministry, Sundays and Wednesday nights when I used to do student ministry on Wednesday night, I've had so many times where the room was full, the worship was on point. People came up and was like, "Bobby, that's the greatest message I've ever heard in my life. It was amazing." But deep down, when I got in my car and I started driving home, I knew something was missing. Turns out that God's not real impressed with all my outlines and all my sermons, right? And I don't think it was, I didn't need better preparation. What I needed was deeper dependence. What I needed is to understand this, and this is where we have to get. Prayer is not the warm-up, it's the work. Prayer is not what we do just to get ready or to help. Prayer is the work. Prayer is not optional. If prayer becomes optional, then guess what? His power becomes minimal. The disciples who walked with Jesus were, I love thinking about these guys and all that they got to experience. You talk about experience Jesus. I mean, these guys got to walk with the Messiah. They got to walk with Creator God and all the things that they got to see him do. And you just think about over and over in the Bible, we read about all the awesome things that they got to experience. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, one of my most favorite things that the disciples did, they were watching Jesus pray. And the Bible says that he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples walked up to him and they were like, "Hey, I need you to teach us how to pray like you just did. I want to know how to do what you just did." So think about that. All the things that they could have asked Jesus. I mean, I would have been like, "Hey, Jesus, can you do that miracle thing again? Because that was pretty cool. I want to do that." Or hey, can you teach me how to preach? I really want to preach like you do. Or man, how do you draw such a crowd, right? Man, I just want to draw a crowd. They asked him how to pray. They asked him how to pray. And here's what they saw. Here's what the disciples saw from Jesus. And I think this is what they begin to understand. And this is something that you and I need to understand. The thing you need most, more than anything else, is intimacy with God. Tomorrow when you get up and you go to work or you do whatever you're gonna do, you go to school, student, whatever it is, the thing you need the most is intimacy with Almighty God. The disciples said, "Man, we just wanna know how to pray like you do. You have such a connection with God." And in this moment, they realized prayer is not just a suggestion. Speaking with God, being in intimacy with God. God never treats prayer as optional. There's a very famous preacher and author named A.W. Tozer, and some of you guys have read some of his stuff before. It's very, very good, and he goes so deep, and he says this one little quote. He says, God waits to be wanted. God waits to be wanted. He's not gonna force himself on us, right? He's not gonna make you pray to him. He's not gonna come to you and say, you have to do this. He comes where he's wanted. He comes where he's welcome. He comes where he's desired. Did you know that prayer and seeking God and any mention of prayer is over 1,000 times in Scripture? We see it over 1,000 times. And if God is going to mention something so much, then I think what that does for you and I is we have to realize it's not optional, it's essential. The Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, he was the guy, for those of you unfamiliar, he was the guy, he would go plant a church and then he would leave and he would go help set up a church and he would go to the next place. And over all throughout the New Testament, Paul would write letters to these churches that he planted. And he would write letters specifically to churches and to the leaders inside of the church. And he was constantly reminding them. Look at this. I want to throw these up here. He told the Romans, be constant in prayer. He reminded the Ephesians, praying at all times in the Spirit. He told the Philippians, in everything by prayer, let your requests be made known unto God. He told the Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer. He told those in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Over and over, this guy who's planting churches keeps reminding the church, hey, don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. This is where the power comes from. This is where you need to stay plugged in. This is what you need to make sure you keep doing. Church, my dream, my vision isn't that City Hope Church would pray more. My dream is that people would know us because we pray. People would know us because we pray. So here's what we're committing to as a church. To teach people how to pray, not just assume everybody knows how. To create space to pray, not just talk about it. To raise up some prayer leaders and prayer warriors, not just as prayer participants, but those that are going to lead the way. And here's the thing about prayer. It's not fancy. It's not flashy. It's not forced. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that we're striving to be faithful in this area. And so prayer must become a priority. And so let me ask you this question today to kind of personalize this in your life. If you have a phone, you can take a picture of this or write this question down somewhere. But I want to challenge you with this question. Where does prayer need to move from occasional to intentional in your life? Think about what you got going on. Think about your relationship with the Lord right now, today, the journey you've been on. He has you right now in this place on purpose. Where does prayer need to move from occasional to intentional in your life? We'll be talking more and more about this, some of the opportunities that we have coming up, where we're just going to get together and seek the face of God. So that's focus number one. Focus number two. We're going to focus on in 2026 of building strong men. I'm convinced that we need some warriors for Christ. I'm convinced that we need some men to step up in our world and in our churches. Paul, again, what did he tell the church in 1 Corinthians? This is kind of a popular verse right now with some books coming out and all this. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. Guys, I don't say any of this right now to shame any man in this room. What my heart is to call us higher, is to call us to take a step up to be the men that God has called us to be. It's about believing this, that you were made for more. You were made for more. Here's what I believe today, church. I believe that what we've seen and what we'll continue to see is when men follow Jesus seriously, everything downstream gets stronger. when men, as guys, as leaders in our home, as leaders of our family, when we step up and we follow Jesus seriously, everything downstream gets stronger. Let me give you a couple reasons why. Let me give you a couple reasons why I believe this matters so much. Number one, because men shape the spiritual climate of their home. Men shape the spiritual climate of their home. When men lead spiritually, wives feel supported. Kids see faith lived out, not just talked about. When men don't lead and they're not the spiritual leader in the home, faith often becomes optional. Following Christ becomes outsourced when we are not the ones. I've never sat with any man that has looked at me and said, man, I wish I spent less time being a spiritual leader in my house. But can I tell you, unfortunately, I've spent a lot of time with men who said, I wish I spent more time spiritually leading my family. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. Men, we shape the spiritual climate in our home. Number two, the Bible consistently calls men to take responsibility. You can start with Adam. You can go to the early church in Acts. You can see all throughout Scripture, men are called to take responsibility. Scripture does not let you be passive, men. And let me just say this. Passivity is the enemy to a godly leadership. Passivity is the enemy of any type of godly leadership. The Bible constantly calls men to take responsibility. Next one, healthy churches are built on healthy families. And families rise or fall with leadership. Discipling men is not this exclusionary thing that we're only going to focus on men. That's not what I'm saying today. What we're talking about is this is foundational. This is something that has to be stuck in the foundation of City Hope Church and churches all across the land, that we are going to develop and disciple men because that's how healthy families become. Next, men tend to drift without intentional challenge. Let's just be real for a minute, fellas. Most men don't accidentally grow spiritually. Right? We don't grow spiritually on accident. They grow. We grow when we're called to. We grow when we're expected more from. We grow when people walk with us and share with us and help us. We don't grow by accident. Number next, strong men create multiplication. Strong men create multiplication. Disciplined men serve and give, and mentor, and stay, and they become pillars, not spectators. Strong men create strong men. And discipling men is not about elevating. Please don't hear this today. We're not about elevating men above women. It's about refusing to let men stay spiritually immature. When men go first, everyone benefits. And so God is put it in our heart, put it in my heart this year in 2026 to focus and zoom in on helping men become the godly leaders. If you go throughout Scripture, almost every movement that you see in Scripture, it was accelerated when men stopped being passive. When Abraham stepped up and said, I'll lead. When Joshua stepped in, he said, we're going to draw a line here. When Nehemiah stepped up and he says, I'll take the lead. I'll go rebuild the city. When the disciples said, you know what? Everybody's leaving, but we're going to stay. Almost every spiritual movement you see in the Bible was accelerated when men stopped being passive. So what are we going to do? We're going to call men to show up. We're going to call men to grow up, and we're going to call men to step up. And you're going to be hearing a lot of that this year in 2026. So men in the room, let me ask you this question today. Tough question. What would change in your home if you became more spiritually intentional? What would change in your house if you became... Now, some of you are spiritually intentional. I'm not saying you're not. But what would change if you took a step up? If you took another step of growth in this area? What would change? So, focus number one is prayer. Focus number two is building strong men. And number three, and I'm convinced that we must invest in the next generation. We must invest in the next generation. When I say next generation, here's what I mean. I mean our kids, our students, our college age. This is kind of Gen Z to Gen Alpha, all right? This is the greatest threat. Think about this. The greatest threat to our church isn't the culture. It's us neglecting the next generation. Because very, very well could be Gen Z, Gen Alpha could be the last generation to lead churches. And we have to get this right. Parents, we have to get this right. We are not just raising kids to attend church. We're raising students and kids to be leaders in the kingdom of God, to be warriors for Jesus. You can dig all throughout God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's called the Shema. It's a very, very kind of old school, back with Moses, this almost law was put in place that as parents, it is your job, it is your duty to disciple your children. It's not, you know, like you think about a sport, right? Like you think about maybe your kid plays soccer. What do? You have a soccer coach, you have a soccer trainer, and you drive there, you drop them off, and they teach them how to play soccer, right? And then they get back in the car, and you go home and do your thing. So many of us have that same mindset when it comes to living for Christ. Oh, I'll just send them to kids' church, and they'll teach them how to love Jesus, and then we just all go home when it's over. But God's word tells us over and over, it is our job as parents, it is our job in the home to be the spiritual leaders, to be the ones who disciple our children. The primary discipleship strategy of God has always been family. It's always been family, always will be family, especially in the home. But I want you to think about it, because we talked about what is City Hope Church, what is becoming a part and a member of a church, what does that really mean? It means that I'm coming into a spiritual family, one that loves me, one that cares for me, one that I can pour into and they can pour into me. And listen to what the psalmist says about what it means to pour into the next generation. He says, my people, Psalm 78, hear my instruction, listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past. Listen, things we have heard and known that our ancestors passed down to us, we will not hide them from their children. But watch this. We will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, and the wondrous works he has performed. That's us, parents. That's us, grandparents. That's us, spiritual family. That's our job. Now, let's just talk about this for a second. I'm doing really well on time this week, Mr. Ken. I'm not going over. Kids, students are watching how you live when church is over. They're watching how you live. They notice if our worship is just a Sunday routine or if it's a daily lifestyle. And so I know this is a little bit challenging. Maybe I'm getting a little bit too personal for your liking, and that's okay. But do your kids ever catch you praying? Do your kids ever witness your faith in action at home, in the car, in the decisions we make as a family? Because the truth is, our kids are going to remember what we model way more than what we say. If we want our children to carry their faith into the future, then we got to give them something real to remember. And right now, listen to me, right now, algorithms are discipling our children more than the church is. the culture is discipling our children way more. You know, the average kid spends thousands of hours being shaped by voices who don't love them, voices who don't care about them, voices who aren't pointing them to Jesus. Thousands of hours. And meanwhile, the average church member, well, I just don't know if this is my season to serve. I don't know if this is the right time. I used to do that. I put my time in. And yet, we have the culture that is doing everything possible to disciple your children and your grandchildren. We have the culture that is willing to say, you know what? If the church doesn't step up, we will. I want you to understand this today, and I know that this is a little bit different, and I told you that. I want you to just kind of see, you know, our heart for this. I'm not just here kind of waving a little caution flag about this. There is war for your child's soul going on right now. There is war for their allegiance. And we as parents, as spiritual family members, as grandparents, we must raise these children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We must show them the way, not just tell them the way. We must send them out and we must get them ready for battle. Some of the most spiritually mature people that I know, that I've known in my life, they serve in the next generation. Not because it's easy. Middle school boys smell. Like, come on. Sorry if you're a middle school boy. My bad. Cologne baths are real. It's not because it's easy. It's because we understand the next generation matters. It matters a lot. And I hope that at some point during your time here at City Hope, as you're here, I hope at some point you would serve in our kids' ministry. You would serve in our student ministry. You would serve in our college age ministry. Not because we're desperate for people, but because it is our calling to invest into the next generation. So we are committed, and I hope some of you parents would make a commitment to this as well. We are committed to invest resources in this area. We are committed to challenge some of our best leaders to serve in these areas. We are committed to give our time and effort and prayer and mentorship and discipleship in this area, because if we don't disciple our kids, the world will. And it won't be neutral. I read this quote this week and I thought it was so good. A church that ignores kids and students is planning its own funeral. So, these are the three places that we truly feel like the Lord has given us some clarity and some emphasis in 2026. Now, let me just remind you, I'm going to say this one more time. That doesn't mean we're not doing anything else, all right? Ladies, we still love you and care about you deeply, okay? Families, all the things, mission trips, marriage conference, we're still going to do. I'm not saying this is all we're going to do, but this is where the Lord has truly called us. Hey, we need to step up as a church in these areas. We need to be better. We need to grow. We need to emphasize these things. This is a focus for us. But here's what I want you to see. As we get ready to close, I want you to see this. Vision doesn't move with agreement. It moves with participation. Vision does not move with agreement. It's not, oh, clap my hands, that sounds so good. We need better men. We need to pray more. We need better students. You know, we need people to serve in the students. Praise God. Where are we going to lunch? Right? Vision doesn't move with agreement. It moves with participation. And so I want to give you three ways that no matter who you are, if this is the first time you've ever sat in this room, you've been with us for a long time, there's three ways that I want to encourage you to get involved. Number one is to pray. Here's what getting involved right now looks like. Pray. You can do that at home. You can do that in your car. You can do that wherever you're at. You can pray. I've got a team. The Lord has put so much of this emphasis on my heart. We have a team on Tuesday morning. We're going to fly out, as long as it's not snowing up north. We got, I think, 14 people, 14 or 16 people, and we're traveling, and we're going to go look at two different churches that right now the prayer movement is such a big deal going on in other places. We're taking 14 people, and we're going to go see what this prayer emphasis is all about, because that's how important it is. And I'm just calling you to show up when prayer is happening. Be in prayer. Learn about prayer. Practice prayer. Stay praying. But this is how you can get involved today. Number one, pray. Number two, build. Build. Don't spectate. This is me as the pastor of this church trying to lead you and to take steps in your life, the ways that you follow him that are going to change the world. Don't be a spectator. Commit to being formed into the person that God wants you to be. We have some pathways. Those aren't the only ones, but we have some pathways, some easy ways for you to get engaged. Get engaged in our pathway. If you don't know what else to do, take the first step. Don't worry about step 7, 8, 9. Worry about step 1. But begin to build your life, your family, your ministry into the thing that God created you to be. Pray, build. Number 3, invest. Invest. I love how no matter where you go in God's word, the Lord's not only teaching, he's not only putting his arm around people and healing and loving, but he's constantly pushing the people around him, his disciples, to serve. To go love people, to go live it out, to invest their lives. They say, well, Jesus, I got to go back and do this. No. Leave that. I need you to invest. No. I need you to go all in. Don't look back. Maybe today God's calling you. It's time. It's time to invest your time. It's time to invest your heart, your desires, your passions. Serve in our kids' ministry. Pour into our students. Find some students that need a disciple, that somebody that can teach them how to love Jesus more. Mentor some young leaders in the church. There's a ton of you that have been married for a really long time. You've walked through some really hard things, and God got you out on the other side, and you see some young couples in here, and God's, hey, it's time to mentor. It's time to go pour into and invest in some young leaders. Pray, build, invest. What's God calling you to do? Here's what I believe. You don't have to do everything, but you can't do nothing. You don't have to do it all. But if you're a true follower of Christ and someone who is being changed by Christ and growing in your relationship with him, then we can't sit still. Crowds consume. Disciples contribute. Families invest. So we believe that we're here to lead everyday people to experience the hope of Jesus. Man, the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. You know what my desire is? I was thinking about this last night before I went to sleep. My desire is that somebody in here, that you would mess up royally. I know it sounds kind of weird, right? That you would mess up and you would screw something up so bad that you have nowhere else to turn to but Jesus, and that you experience his forgiveness. I was thinking about that last night. I said, man, the hope that Jesus gave me when I felt hopeless, the forgiveness that Jesus gives me when I turn my back on him and don't trust him, that's what I want you to experience. That's what I hope that you walk out of here today understanding, man, one of my callings in life is to help other people experience Jesus. Then I want to take this unbelievable responsibility that I don't know why God gave me to be a pastor. I don't deserve it. Man, I don't deserve it. what I want to do, what I want to take with what God's given me is I want to help lead you to make changes in your life that change the world. That you fall so in love with Jesus. That you fall so in love with his word. You fall so in love with having intimate moments with him. That your whole life changes. And that it changes the direction of your children, of your grandchildren. That your relationship with Jesus, that the decisions that you make, you say, you know what? The things that I used to prioritize, God's changing. I want to lead you to help make those changes in your life and watch what God does through you and how he changes the world. So if City Hope Church is your church, then this is your mission too. That you would go out this week and people would experience Jesus, and you would lead people to follow him in ways that change the world. Let's get it started, church. Let's get it started. Brand new year. New year, new me. What's God calling you to? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Listen, I know that today in this sermon series has been different. It's been different for me. But I just felt so strongly all year. We sat down and October, I think, and began to plan 2026, and this has been on my soul for so long now. And I wanted to make it just so clear so everybody can understand. This is who we are. This is what we've been called to do. This is what it means to be a part of City Hope Church. And I believe this year, as we focus on these three core areas, we're going to see God do things that we don't even expect him to do. And I don't just want it for this business, this corporation called City Hope Church. I want it for your life. I want your prayer life to be so good. I want you to spend so much time in the Lord in prayer that it's just, you look forward to it every day. Just pouring your heart out to him and allowing him to speak to you. I want homes to be strengthened because there's men who decided, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to stop going through the motions and I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to be a warrior for Christ. I've been a warrior for the world long enough. That's what I want for you. That's my prayer. My prayer has been that we would see some students and some kids and some college age that would come out of City Hope Church, come out of your home, come out of your family and be warriors for Jesus and go to college campuses all over the country and stand up for Christ and go into the workplace, go into their schools and say, you know what? I don't care if I get ridiculed. My faith is more important. I don't care if I'm the only one. I'm not turning my back on Jesus. I want that for your children. I want that for my children. So this year, we're going to invest. We're going to build. We're going to emphasize. Would you come along with us? Would you make a decision today? I'm all in. I'm all in, Pastor Bobby. I'm going to take the lead. But I want you to make a decision today based on emotions. I want you to make a decision today based on conviction from the Lord. My prayer is that God is leading you to a courageous decision. It's time to put my foot down. It's time to release some things, to get some junk out of my life and begin to be the person that God created me to be. Heavenly Father, we call on you today and we thank you for who you are in our lives, that no matter what we're walking through, wherever we're at on our journey, wherever we're at on our pathway, Lord, you're right there with us. Your word promises you're never going to leave us or forsake us. no matter how far gone we think we are, no matter how much we've convinced ourselves that we don't deserve it, we can trust in you. Bring us back. Show us the places we need to grow. Show us the places we need to turn from. And Lord, may we be a church known for you. Thank you for this opportunity today. Thank you for this word that you've placed in our hearts. Continue to use it even as we leave this place. We go our separate ways. May we honor you. May we bring you glory. May we continue to build your kingdom and not our own. It's in Jesus' name. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.